Welcome back to Turning Hard Times Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really happy to have Quentin Henning with me again. Talk about another exciting exploration story. This one is Blue Lagoon Resources. It is a company that is sponsoring today's show. It's a company that I've been following for a number of years. Actually, I knew the founder of the company going back quite a few years, maybe 10 years ago or so. And when Crescat Capital got involved with it, I said, well, maybe this is something I should look at. And I did put it in my newsletter. I do own the shares myself, and I'm really happy that Quentin is here to help investors understand this, I think, what is a very exciting story. Thank you so much for joining me, Quentin.
Pleasure, Jay.
Yeah, it's always good to have you with me. Maybe you should mention that trades in Canada under the symbol BLLG, BLAGF in the States. That's how I bought it. 101.3 million shares, I think, about 19 cents in U.S. money, something like that. So it's a really small market cap, under 20 million in U.S. funds. I saw at the end of the year the company had about a little under $3 million in cash. So it's probably going to need to raise some money along the way, especially if they get involved aggressively in what I think they should, because it has a great potential. They do have a small resource, 250,000 ounces, I think, in their project on Dome Mountain, pretty high grade, I believe maybe around 9 grams per ton and near surface. They have that going for them for sure, but I think they have an awful lot more than that in terms of their exploration potential. So that's really why I'm really happy to have Quentin with me again. All right, their Dome Mountain project. How do you describe it? I think I've heard you say it's an alkaline system, perhaps.
It is. It's a variety of alkaline gold systems, and what that means is it's associated with magma that came up that has a lot of alkaline metal in it. Okay, and this magma, which had a lot of potassium and other metals like sodium and stuff, came up, parked itself somewhere short distance down from the Earth's surface, say 2 or 3 kilometers, and then started to basically crystallize. And as it did so, flushed a lot of metal up into the veins and fractures above that chamber. And this is a kind of model that I talk about for stories like Tuvatu at Lion One. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty typical model. A lot of people think, oh, these are epithermal veins, like hot spring veins. They're not really, okay, because they're deep rooted. They're not just sitting there boiling in kind of a relatively shallow regime. These are deep rooted gold systems that can go down quite some distance. In fact, there's systems that are very, very much like the Dome Mountain system that we know about around the world that have profiles that are well over a kilometer vertically into the ground. The best example I can think of is Buritica, which is in Colombia. It's a gold project that was advanced many years by Continental Gold and then was bought out by the Chinese a few years ago. Its vein system, they're very subtle veins. Okay, they tend not to have a lot of flashy alteration. So you got to drill them to figure out what's going on. But once you find one of these veins, they tend to be fairly continuous along strike and fairly continuous at depth. It's not to say they're fully mineralized, every inch of the way, but the fracture themselves, the actual profile of the vein, can go down a long, long way. And I see that kind of potential here at Dome Mountain.
Yeah. So they have a resource of, and they, I think there was some talk about having it custom milled, or they'd mine it. Would probably bring in some outside miners and have it custom milled, or how would they do it?
So the project was in the hands of a private company. They actually acquired it from the private company. And the previous owners tried to develop a small-scale mine here. It is a rich vein, as you mentioned, the Dome, or the Boulder vein at Dome Mountain is quite rich. Mm-hmm. And they were able to mine and extract, a bulk sample a couple of years ago. And process it, and they actually, I believe, netted some money out of it. So not often you see that. Not often you see a bulk, sample generate some cash. But it is high grade, and it's very prolific. So it is developable. Okay, I think there is a story to be made here. I'm focused on the exploration potential, but do I see potential to build a mine? Yes, but my focus in particular is going to be on the exploration story around that.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think I saw the other day when you were talking about this story on Crescat Gets Active, you had a you had a cross section or a long section, I guess, you call it.
Yeah.
That really showed some of the high grade intercepts, but not all that deep. But they're open. It's open in every direction. It seems pretty much a long strike and at depth anyway. So, do you have that image you could show us?
I sure do. Yes, I did show this image the other day on the Crescat video. This is a long section. Basically, what we're looking at is the vein in profile. So we're not looking straight down on it. We've rotated the vein, so now we're looking at it from the side, and we can see all the drill holes that have gone into this. The different colors tell you what the grade thickness, the grams per gold over the meter widths, were in each of these drill holes. Obviously, up in the top there where those little tiny squares are, that's the block model. That's the current resource. And like you said, it's about 250,000 ounces. It is high grade. It is running on the order of 9 or 10 grams per ton. But it is a modest scale resource. Now, notice there's some levels in there. Okay, there's some actual tunnel levels or adit levels. And those are where this development has been done to date. Okay, some bulk sampling, blocks have been mined out. That's actually where the white is inside those block models. That's probably been mined away. All right, but that is the current resource. But notice that there's a lot of drill holes away from that area. Okay, we've got holes off here to the east or to the right. We got holes down at depth. We've got holes off to the west as well. Now, it's important to understand that in any vein system, you're never going to hit 100%. Okay, there are places where the fluids, when they came up the crack, they mineralized the rock quite well or mineralized the fracture quite well. And then there's going to be other places where they didn't mineralize it so well. Okay, so the blues and the greens are more grade areas. The reds, oranges, pinks, and stuff, those are higher grade areas, typical of any vein. All right, you can see this kind of pattern any vein on Earth. All right, now, what's astounding, though, to me is that they have, with the wide space drilling that they've done outside of that resource, they have started to define a much, much broader footprint. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not hard to say in your head, okay, if that's 250,000 ounces, and we take that block model shape and we kind of replicate that, you know, it's not hard to say, okay, there's probably, you know, room for 3 or 4 more of these on that, just this image here, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not to say it's cut off a long strike either. Mm-hmm. But right there, if that's 250,000 ounces, I say, yes, there's a good shot they could have 1 million, 1.5 million ounces just by replicating that over and over again. And these drill holes that they have outside of there clearly demonstrate that's a possibility. Look over here on the right-hand side. Hole 273 hit 5.5 grams gold, 1.2% copper, over 16 meters of width. True width is about 12 meters. 12 meters, that's a long way. Okay, that's the width of your average house or something. Yeah. I think that, like, that's a big volume of rock. You know, so it doesn't take a lot of, volume or like a lot of strike and stuff to build tons when you're dealing with that kind of width. Okay, and to me, that hit looks like it's down plunge. Look up to the upper left. See where it says 530 meters that's written?
Right. You
can see there's a band of pink forming, and it trends down in that direction towards 273. That's what we call the rake or this projection of a high-grade chute. And I think that they hit the down plunge projection of that very high-grade chute. Mm-hmm. That's one example. Okay, lots of upside. But then you have other intercepts. Skinnier, yes, but they're also interesting. Like down here, hole 139, mm-hmm. you got 17.7 grams of gold, 0.3% copper, a little lower, but over 3.13 meters. That's about 2 meters true width. That's plenty wide to mine. I mean, you're talking about half-ounce rock with a copper credit to throw in.
Sure.
Over 2 meters. That's an awesome result. All right, so, you know, what am I seeing here? I'm seeing the company start to define a picture that really does look like this could evolve into a multi-million-ounce gold system. Now, you might say, well, what other analogies can we look at around the world where you have you have a small-scale mine where somebody, you know, decided to go in, albeit didn't advance it all that far, But that evolved into a big gold story. Well, the one I look at that is also an alkaline system, very similar in nature to this, is K92, which is in Papua New Guinea. All right, so you know this. What this reminds me of is the early days of K92. K92, of course, is in Papua New Guinea, and they started mining a deposit very similar to this. In fact, it's an alkaline gold system. It's got a copper gold flavor to it, and it is a vein hosted system, much like this, very high grade. And they started mining. This is going back a few years ago when they wanted to demonstrate the economic viability of it. And then it morphed into a full-scale commercial mine, which they're doing now. But at the same time, they started to explore. They started to explore the vein systems, continuations of those veins around the mine. And today they're at a few million ounces. I think it's like 3 or 4 million ounces of reserves. That they have in front of them. That's an astounding result. This is the kind of system we're dealing with here. And I see a very similar pattern evolving. I think that give these guys a couple of years. I think, you know, not only could they develop this small scale mine, but they do have potential to have just kind of an astounding exploration story to tag along with that, that can demonstrate that this is going to be a very high profitable mine over a very long period.
Quentin, as I look at this cross section, I see that they're able to go in through the side of the mountain pretty much the levels that they're mining from now. If they were to go a lot deeper, though, they'd probably have to put in an incline or something, right?
Yes, they would obviously to chase these high grade chutes, these high grade plumbing systems down to depth. They'd have to put in further development, but you know the fact that they're seeing. Fully 150, 200 meters below the existing mine workings, they're seeing, very good widths, very good grades like this. This should easily support that kind of development.
But do we know anything about the strike length of this system?
You know, they did some drilling earlier, after they hit the grades here in 273, they did some drilling further to the east. So I know that it's open. I think some of their results from recent news shows that it continues further east, like a few hundred meters to the east. But they also had some drill holes off to the west as well. I think the 280 and 283 that you see in this image were examples of that. You know, look at there, 283, 7.3 grams over about a 2.75 meter true width with a nearly 1% copper contribution. That is really good material, Jay. Yeah. That's phenomenal. Yeah. You know, and then up there in hole 280, you got 3.14 meter true width. Okay, that's plenty wide to mine. 8.68 gram per ton gold, and not quite as high copper, but still a significant copper component. Again, an astounding outcome for drilling. This tells me that this thing's wide open along strike. There's absolutely nothing cutting this thing off, and it could have a profile very much like what you see at K92.
So what does this company need to do? I mean, it's under $20 million market cap. It's got, if it has these kind of grades, I mean, an aggressive drill program, it seems to me, Quentin, if you could start to see multi-million ounce deposit of something like of that nature with high grades, obviously the market would start to get excited about it, I would think.
I do think this is one of the more compelling, vein projects in British Columbia, certainly. I think that the potential's here, like multi-million ounce potential for sure. What do they need to do? They need to certainly explore. They need to do bold, aggressive step-out drilling and try to continue to hit holes like this. I don't think they need to do infill just yet, but if they show that this thing could have a footprint that could host a few million ounces, that's going to catch people's attention. I think they're getting close to it now, but they need to continue that work. So there's one element. Now, developing a mine, you know what? K92, it worked. They got in there and they built a modest scale mine that eventually scaled up and is now a full scale commercial mine that is making great money. That is certainly possible here. If they started to get a picture of enough resource and reserves in front of them to develop that kind of scenario, I think this is another case where you could build a K92 story. Now, what's the upside? Well, this is in British Columbia. I'm going to say British Columbia is a little more favorable than Papua New Guinea. So I think, I would actually Be pretty keen to see something like that happen here.
And in terms of the management team, they do have some engineering capabilities there, I guess. So I guess that's good if they're a producer.
Yes, that's correct. They got engineering, and then, you know, there are small mine companies, you know, contract firms in British Columbia area. I'm sure that they can find the team that they need to build a small scale to start with, but, you know, a mine that can be ramped up. And I think they have a bit of permitting they need to go through to get to that stage, but I think they're working towards that.
Oh, certainly like to see that, and see them become more aggressive, I guess. In terms of, do they have geologists on staff?
Yeah, Bill Kronk is their technical main technical person.
Yeah.
He's got a few people working under him. Not, you know, a big team. It's a pretty small team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have a decent team. They've got to probably up their team as this project takes off. Like I can see where, you know, in a good gold market, it's, you know, time to start moving and shaking. I think they're going to need to raise some money, like you said,
yeah,
and probably beef up things. But this is just a killer project that will certainly justify the capital that they need to go out and get things going.
Well, it'd be nice if they can generate some cash flow and help to fund their exploration. But what you're saying is you see the need right now to establish the scale of this thing with you know, step out drilling. No need to closely drill right now, except maybe what they're going to mine. They want to know exactly where the cutoffs are and so forth. But this looks like a very exciting story. I hope that they start to become more aggressive in their drilling. Obviously, they're going to have to raise some money, but if they can, at least if the market can start to realize what the potential is here, maybe, who knows, maybe we can see the share price improve, especially with the higher gold price the wind at our back now, Quentin, a little bit over $2,000. It's looking very bullish for gold. So let's hope.
It does indeed. But Jay, yes, this looks like a market that might come back with, you know, we'll call it a resounding bull here soon. I think, like, you know, every technical indicator, I know that you talked to Kevin and Tavi recently, and I don't pretend to be a macro economist, but I, you know, as a geologist and watching these cycles, this one looks like it's setting up to be a big one.
Sure does. Well, thank you very much, Quentin, for sharing this with us and helping people understand what the prospects of Blue Lagoon are. It's greatly appreciated.